There's some who think that removing God from our nation is a good idea. Skip Heitzig isn't one of them.
This nation, the one you and I live in, the United States of America, one nation under God, you know what's happening. You know what the courts are doing. You know what individuals are tirelessly trying to do. Take God out of the Constitution. Take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Remove God far away from government under this bogus idea, never meant to be this meaning, the separation of church and state. So they say, let's just take God completely out of this nation and secularize it totally. Boy, that's dangerous to me.
Make the connection. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa.
A Celtic knot is an intricate interweaving pattern of cords and strands in which it's often difficult to tell where it begins and where it ends. The patterns were often used in Christian symbols and art in the early 3rd and 4th centuries. Like those Celtic knots, the Bible is also an intricate work where the end isn't always easy to distinguish from the beginning. In fact, many images and themes from the book of Daniel are also reflected in the book of Revelation, and vice versa. We'll explore some of the intricacies of how the Bible weaves together today here in The Connection with Skip Heitzig. But first, here's how you can help support The Connection on a monthly basis and help us reach new areas all over the world.
What does your support of The Connection do? Well, it keeps us on the air so you can hear solid Bible teaching day after day, year after year. But it also does much more. It goes beyond your doorstep and helps us take The Connection to places like Belize, Micronesia, New Zealand, and more. Your $25 a month as a global connector helps us connect people all over the globe with the truth of God's Word. So please consider becoming a monthly supporter of The Connection and help this ministry continue, both for you and for thousands of people all over the world. Just call 1-800-922-1888. Plus, this month, when you help support The Connection, we'll send you a teaching from Dmitry Krupennikov of Russia. We'd like to help Dmitry and his ministry by getting The Connection on the air in Russia. And your support of the Global Connectors can help us do that. Sign up today for just $25 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
Well, along with that thought about global connecting with all the different people groups, it's always fascinating to see how Scripture all weaves together, especially when you get to the prophetic sections. We'll explore that in the book of Daniel today. We'll also learn how these interlacing sections of Scripture impact our lives.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Let's join Skip Heitzig.
The only day Jesus allowed himself to be publicly proclaimed as the Messiah of the nation. Remember the day he said to his disciples, hey, go in the village next door and get a little donkey and bring him here. I'm going to sit on him. Why? Because Jesus likes donkey rides? No, because he's fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice, O Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. Just and having salvation, lowly on a donkey, on the colt, a foal of a donkey. Fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9 and Daniel 9:25, Jesus comes in, and the only time we read in Jesus' whole life, the nation says, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And you remember what the Jewish leader said? Master, rebuke your disciples. Because they knew exactly what they were saying. They were saying, he is the Messiah. And Jesus said, well, okay, I can stop them, but if I do, you'll have the biggest rock concert on your hands. The rocks will sing themselves. They'll cry out. And then Jesus wept over the city. And do you remember what he said when he wept over the city? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her young, but you were not willing. And Jesus said these words, if you had only known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but they are hidden from your eyes. What was Jesus speaking about? If you had only known this day, what day? Exactly the 173,880th day from March 14th, 445 BC, on this day, April 6th, 32 AD, when Daniel said, your prince, the Messiah, will come to your holy city, and then he will be cut off. And a few days later, Jesus at Passover was cut off, but not for himself, but for the sins of his nation. Now you can see why this is a fun scripture to pull out with skeptics and show them the power of the Bible and how God orchestrated the atonement of his son. And I'm doing this tonight. Here's why it's important. It shows us that all of history surrounds one important event, and that is the atoning work of Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, our Savior. All of history, all God divides all of time based on that event, the atonement of Jesus Christ for your sins. God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for your sins and orchestrated the exact date so that you could believe and be saved. And it also shows us the plan that God has for his people, the Jewish nation. The 70 weeks of Daniel determined for Jerusalem and for these people. Now, Jesus came, but Jesus was largely, though not totally, but largely rejected by the nation that he came to. He came into his own, and his own what? Received him not. They rejected him. This nation, the one you and I live in, the United States of America, one nation under God, you know what's happening. You know what the courts are doing. You know what individuals are tirelessly trying to do. Take God out of the Constitution. Take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Remove God far away from government under this bogus idea, never meant to be this meaning, the separation of church and state. So they say, let's just take God completely out of this nation and secularize it totally. Boy, that's dangerous to me. Back in the 19th century, we had a visitor. Not we, my family, or anybody you'd know, but the United States of America had a visitor from France named Alexis de Tocqueville. Ever heard of Alexis de Tocqueville? This guy was an ambassador to study this new experiment called the United States of America. It was an experiment in democracy. And the world thought, if you have a country ruled for the people, by the people, of the people, it'll lead to anarchy. It's no way to govern. You should always have a king. And so Alexis de Tocqueville came over and viewed the United States. This is what he said. America is the place where the Christian religion has kept the greatest power over men's souls. And nothing better demonstrates how useful and natural it is to man, since the country, this country, the United States, is where it now has the widest sway and is the most enlightened nation and the freest nation. He saw, in looking at our country, that our freedom is tied to our belief in God and our Christian worldview. As we celebrate our freedom tonight, we celebrate it rejoicing, but with the prayer that this country will turn back to God, that this country will turn in repentance back to the God who loves this country and died for this country. That's our prayer tonight. You know what else Alexis de Tocqueville said? He said this, America is great because America is good. As soon as America ceases to be good, she will no longer be great. So you wonder, well, how good is our nation? And we go, uh-oh. Maybe we're not all that great like we once were because of what we have done with God, similar to this nation, the nation of Israel. Now, chapter 10 11 and 12 are a unit in the book of Daniel. And let me just briefly go over them. Chapter 10 is an introduction to chapter 11 and 12. Daniel is given the future in more detail, in more visions, starting from Darius the Mede. Darius the Mede, the ruler of the Medo-Persian Empire along with Cyrus. Darius the Mede, all the way to Antiochus Epiphanes, which I mentioned, he's highlighted in chapter 11 as well, all the way to the second coming of Jesus Christ at the end of chapter 11 and on into the end of chapter 12. Now, in verse 2 and 3 of Daniel 10, he says, I mourned 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat, no wine came into my mouth. So whatever he saw really disturbed him. And he saw a vision of an angel in verse 12. And he said to me, don't fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief priests or the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone with the king of Persia. Now, briefly here, we're getting insight into spiritual warfare. There was no human prince of Persia. There was a king, and I already mentioned the names of the coalition of kings. There wasn't a prince. But we're getting the backstage view, like Job got the backstage view, of some other demonic spirit influencing the king of Persia, trying to thwart God's plan, as stated in Daniel's 70 weeks for the Jewish nation. He's trying to destroy God's plan for his people. And it seems that Satan has assigned this demonic being rulership or influence over the king of Persia. So, 21 days this battle took place. 21 days this archangel had to fight with a demonic being. Must be pretty powerful. And here's my question. If the prince of Persia, whatever that demonic being is, was that powerful, what do you think the prince of San Francisco's like? Or the prince of Hollywood? Or Las Vegas? Must be pretty powerful. In chapter 11, you notice it's long. I'm really not going to touch it. Here's why. You want to know why? Chapter 11, in 35 verses, there's 135 prophecies fulfilled historically with great intricacy. We don't have time. One time I did a whole study just on chapter 11. But it's basically a conflict between, this is what it says, the kings of the north and the kings of the south. The kings of the south did this, and the kings of the north did that. Then the kings of the north did that, and the kings of the south did that. And you go, what's going on? North of Israel was the Seleucid Empire. South of Israel, Egypt, was the Ptolemaic Empire after Alexander the Great died. For 200 years, battles were going back and forth between north and south, and sandwiched in the middle was the nation of Israel. So they're called the kings of the north and kings of the south relative to the position of the most important nation in God's agenda, Israel. So these kings go back and forth. And the best way to understand chapter 11 is this. Verses 1 through 35 deal with battles that take place in Daniel's 69 weeks, the first 483 years. The last part of the chapter deals with battles that will take place in the tribulation period, the seven-year period, Daniel's 70th week, including the Antichrist. Again, that's just an overview, but after all, this is the Bible from 30,000 feet. Chapter 12, verse 1, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there will be a time of trouble. See if this doesn't sound familiar. A time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who's found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. That's the resurrection. Some to everlasting life. By the way, first time in the Bible ever we find the word everlasting life is right there in that verse. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. But those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Do you want to be a wise man or a wise woman? I don't mean just a wise guy. You want to be wise? Take people to heaven with you. Lead people to Christ. Learn how to do evangelism. Learn how to pray with people to get them to heaven. Those who are wise will shine like the stars forever. Tonight you're going to see fireworks. I'm going to encourage you to do something. When the fireworks are done, when the sparkle is out of the sky, when the last Roman candle or sparkler or whatever it is goes away, keep looking up if the clouds clear. And if the clouds clear, typically on a clear night, you see beyond the fireworks the stars. And when the fireworks die out, the stars are still shining. That's a wise person. An unwise person comes into the world and says, it's all about me. I'm going to make a splash in the sky like fireworks. And God says, well, that's dumb. It's better to shine forever than to just make a splash for an instant or be a king or queen for a day. Shine forever. And you do it by leading people to Christ. He who wins souls, Proverbs says, is wise. And then you'll shine. One of the great evangelists of our time, one of the great evangelists the world has ever known, is at the end of his life, Dr. Billy Graham. He has led more people to Christ than anyone else in history. Knowing that, a few years ago, I was back in North Carolina at the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center. And that night, a few of us were invited over to Billy and Ruth's house for dinner. Well, this is quite an honor. We went over there and had Chinese food. And that night, Billy was talking about the presidents he had known. And he turns to me. I was doing the evening session at the Cove that night. And Billy says, I'm coming to the Cove to hear you preach tonight. And honestly, I said to him, oh, great. And in my heart, I'm going, oh, no. The world's greatest evangelist is going to hear me speak? I don't want that. I felt so embarrassed. And here's why. The topic that I was preaching on that night was evangelism. So what's wrong with that picture? Skip Heitzig with the world's greatest evangelist in the audience teaching on evangelism. And then they even told me at the Cove, they said, look, not everybody in this crowd is necessarily born again. Why don't you give an invitation for some to receive Christ? I go, oh, that's like over the top now. I'm going to give an invitation and Billy Graham's in the crowd? That's like what he does. Why don't I have him come up? I said, oh, no. He'll be in the back, but you give the invitation. So I gave an invitation for people to raise their hands, and Billy raised his hand. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't do that. But a lot of people did. A lot of people did. And that has always been his heart, to win as many people to Christ as possible. And tonight, in just a moment, out here, maybe some of you, maybe you've gone to church your whole life. Maybe you've been a good person. Maybe you've said, okay, I'll go Sundays. Okay, well, I'll go to this special Wednesday night, but that's it. Maybe you have a relationship with the church like that, but you don't have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you that opportunity in just a few moments to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Because that is the center of this entire book. What is the smartest thing you can do in light of prophecy? I want you to think about this thought in closing. What's the smartest thing you can do knowing that there's a God out there who knows everything that is going to happen in the future? He sees the parade from the blimp. He's in the helicopter. He sees it all in a flash, and he can predict it. He's got it all in his hand. I think the best choice you could make is to give yourself into the hands of that one, the Lord himself. I heard a story about an airplane. In the airplane, it was a private plane. There was a minister, a Boy Scout, and a genius. They were being flown by a pilot from one place to another. They had engine trouble. The pilot announced to everybody, the plane's going down. There's only 3 parachutes, but there's 4 people, myself, the preacher, the minister, the Boy Scout, and the genius. The pilot said, look, I'm married and I've got 3 kids. I've got to have one of the parachutes. He grabbed one, jumped out. Next, the genius stepped up and he goes, look, I'm the smartest guy in the world. Everybody needs me. He took a parachute and he jumped out. Now there's 1 parachute and there's 2 people left, the Boy Scout and the minister. The minister came over to the Boy Scout and said, look, I've lived a long, rich life. You're just starting. You're a young lad. I gladly have you take the parachute. I'll go down with the plane. The Boy Scout smiled very confidently and said, relax, preacher. The smartest guy in the world just took my knapsack and jumped out of the airplane. What a genius. Question, how are you going to jump into eternity? You're going to just jump with your own little backpack? You're just going to take a risk and go forever into eternity, die, and then cross your fingers and hope it all goes well? You're not very genius-like if that's your plan. If you really want to be smart, if you really want to be wise, you will jump into the hands of the one who controls all of history.
So is your fate, your future, in the hands of the only one who's really in control of history, both past and future? If not, would you like to put your life in those hands? You can, and while it's not an easy decision, it's one of the most important ones you can make. If you'd like to talk with someone about what it means to choose Jesus Christ and put your fate in His hands, give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. We'd be happy to talk with you about that. You can also find out more when you click on the Know God link at connectionradio.org. Well, that's all the time we have. But before we go, here's how to get a copy of a book by Stephen Baldwin called The Unusual Suspect. It's available for just $15, but it may be just the thing for someone you know who's still searching for a reason to follow Christ. Here's more.
When Stephen Baldwin was riding the wave of fame from his most successful movie, The Usual Suspects, he thought he was in his glory. Hot in Hollywood, whatever Stephen wanted, Stephen got. But he found a new, more meaningful role in life, that of a Christian, a role more radical than anything Hollywood can offer.
Mostly kids are, you know, out there taking risks and wanting to have fun and this and that. Well, there's no greater risk and no greater thrill and fun than tapping into the most awesome power that exists anywhere, which is God and His Spirit. If you can get a hold of that, there's no skate park, surfboard, kiteboard, snowboard, any board. You know, the ultimate is the Jesus board.
The Connection is offering a book by Stephen Baldwin, The Unusual Suspect, My Calling to the New Hardcore Movement of Faith.
When I became a Christian, I was somebody that was a skydiver and bungee jumper and doing all kinds of stuff that was giving me the maximum potential of the thrill of life. I never thought it would ever be possible that the Holy Spirit could actually be 10 times more gnarly than any of that. There's nothing God likes better than a good challenge.
In The Unusual Suspect, Stephen takes you behind the scenes and tells the stories that haven't been told of celebrity life, a curious family, and a hardcore faith.
I cry out to the Lord with this request. I want you to show me something in this life experience that surprises me. I want to see you do your thing in my existence that I never thought would be possible or never could have anticipated. For me, that's the base jump for Jesus each and every morning. I take the leap and trust in Him.
Get The Unusual Suspect by Stephen Baldwin from The Connection now. Order online at connectionradio.org or by calling 1-800-922-1888.
And also, don't forget to pick up a copy of today's teaching. It's available for just $6 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Plus, anything you share above that suggested donation will help us continue these daily studies. If this ministry has blessed you, consider returning that blessing by sharing just a little extra. Every little bit helps us not only continue these Bible studies in your area, but helps us around the world as we take God's Word to new areas in desperate need of the Bible's truth. So give us a call today at 1-800-922-1888 or visit us online at connectionradio.org. You can also write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Continue through the Bible from 30,000 feet next time. So set aside some time to come back and join us here in The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.